Father, without you, I'm absolutely overwhelmed. But with you, I know that we can do all things. And I want to take you to the book of Colossians. And in verse 1 of chapter 1, that's where we're going in chapter 1. I'd like to stress the reality that Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, not by the will of man or the election of man. Can you get that on? Can you wear that for a while? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and to Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ. He always puts in Christ, meaning they're in the body. Yesterday, middle of the afternoon, I reflecting on a couple things, and the Lord reminded me of a young man that used to be a part of Grace Church years back, and he works in the Palmer area, in a public place. And all of a sudden, yesterday afternoon, it came back into my heart that I should drop off over there for a few minutes, and so I did. As the Lord would have it, my brain was in somewhere else, and I drove right by the place, had to turn around and go back. But I went. And he was on my heart during the week. So when I walked in, to my wonderful surprise, there he is standing. And I said hello to him and gave him a hug. And we have not had... Well, we had a couple conversations, very short, a while back. But this time it was different. This time it went a little deeper. And he's standing at the counter. And the Lord said, show him from his own hand. So I addressed him by name and I said, what would happen if somebody just came in and cut off this right thumb? And he looked at me and he says, well... it would be a problem. I said, well, I want to tell you that the body of Christ is missing you. I'm not saying you're a right thumb, but I'm saying that you are cut off. And are you worshiping somewhere? He said, no. Well, I says, I'm here to tell you that we need you in the body. I don't know where you're going to worship, but you need to be somewhere in the body. And he kind of looked down and I says, if you think this is an accusation, then we're in trouble. But if you think it's God, reflect. Reflect and see what the Holy Spirit wants from you. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ, in the Western Massachusetts area. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, etc., etc. Now I want you to go to verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Who has qualified me? Try that one on for size. Who has qualified me? See, when you are qualified, what are you qualified for? To share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. To share in the inheritance. You understand? My mentality was not at one time capable of handling this. Because I had such a low self-esteem idea about who I was that I could not receive that information for me. It was for the neighbor. It was for them who were highly favored of God, but I was not, because I was a sinner. I had a sinner's attitude that was planted in me by religious forces, and I'm not trying to blame anybody. It was just where I happened to be. Anybody relate? The value I had of myself did not really include a qualification to share in the inheritance of the saints. They were holy and I was unholy. I was set apart unto destruction of my own thoughts in my own mind. How many can relate to what I'm saying? Wave your hand a little bit so that you'll see each other. Oh, I came from a bunch of friends, huh? Well, this friendship needs to change. And we really need to understand to share the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us. Verse 13 is of all importance. If you need to put a circle around 13, do it. For he has rescued me from the dominion of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And 14, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Have, or had. It's already done. The reason I'm picking on you is I'm picking on me to really get a mind transformation today. I am doing my utmost to let you see a little more clearly what God's intention was when he sent Jesus to that cross. When I pulled out his tie this morning, it was to remind you that he already beat the enemy up. You don't need to beat him anymore. Jesus conquered everything. And he did it for us. On that tree. Last week we talked about the tree of life laid down on the tree of death and swallowed death completely. Amen? If he swallowed death completely, is it still ruling and reigning because of unbelief? Yes. Or wrong thought patterns in our brain? Yes. Because the covenant of death to relieve pain and sorrow has been an active part of the church. And I could tell you Romans 2:7 says that you're to seek immortality. But most people don't want to do that. They're comfortable with the status quo. Yesterday, he pressured me. How many know God can pressure you? Amen? He reminded me of a booklet that I read many years ago, and I want to give thanks for this booklet because E.W. Kenyon wrote several books that I have enjoyed over the years. And he brought this one back into my life, and I want to share with you a little bit about his redemption of us, his recreation of us, and he delivered us out of Satan's authority, and he remits all that we have ever done. Remits! Totally, completely annihilates it. Now I want to back it up, and I want you to just close your eyes and hold on to these truths that I'm about to share with you. Sin consciousness can be traced. The reason for practically every spiritual failure is it destroys faith. It destroys the initiative in the heart. It gives to man an inferiority complex. Sin consciousness creates what? An inferiority complex. He is afraid of God. He is afraid of himself. He is ever searching to find someone that can pray the prayer of faith for him. He has no sense of his own legal rights to stand in the Father's presence without condemnation. He is afraid of God. He is afraid of himself. He is ever searching. Can you relate? Does it touch home a little bit? The inferiority complex that is bred of sin consciousness is faced everywhere in the church. Everywhere. It has been said to me many times, if I could get rid of this sin consciousness, I'd get my healing. I'd be a power for God. But I can't get rid of it. Meaning, the thought patterns are constantly pointing guilty, 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 guilty. Every time you get on the scale, you find yourself falling short. And I'm not talking about weight. I'm talking about guilt. Has God provided a redemption that curses this sin disease? I'm sure he has. If he hasn't planned to take it out of man during his earth walk, man can never stand right before God because redemption works only in this age. In other words, you can't go to heaven and get this thing cleaned up. It's got to be cleaned up here in the earth. God has made provision to make a new creation. He has planned to impart his own nature to him, taking out the old sin nature and replacing it with his own nature. This will destroy sin consciousness. In other words, when you start declaring that you are a new creation, what happens? Sin consciousness is actually pricked and recognized. Watch this next part because it's very important. Few theologians have recognized the fact that sin consciousness is the parent of practically all human religions. Man has sought to heal this awful disease. The sense of unworthiness destroys faith, robs us of our peace of mind, makes ineffectual the most earnest and zealous prayer life. Did you hear that? It robs us of all fellowship and communion with the Father. It literally puts you in a place where you are so conscious of everything you've done wrong that you will definitely not even approach God for healing or for any other need. Our theologians since Luther, that's Martin Luther, have never found a cure for this condition. The holiness people have attempted bravely to meet this issue, but so far they have never been able to permanently cure the patient. Man's curse cure has been repentance of sin, sorrow for sin, and deep agony in prayer. Others have tried to quiet their conscience by doing or going to church, doing penance, fasting, giving money, saying prayers, doing good deeds, giving up pleasure, confessing their sins, fighting bad habits, putting themselves under discipline and self-denial and self-abasement by neglecting the body. Some have even gone so far as to lacerate their bodies. Others have taken long pilgrimages. All these methods have been tried. Every earnest spirit has attempted some of them. A new movement has just arisen in which men and women are finding temporary relief in confessing their sins to one another. Confessing sins may bring temporary relief from the pressure that is upon them, but no works of any kind, whether they be works of self-abnegation, repentance, penance, saying of prayers, or self-denial, can ever rid the heart of sin consciousness. There are two kinds of sin consciousness. One is the man who has never been born again. The other is the undeveloped believer. That's where we are. Undeveloped. One who has never grown beyond the state of babyhood doesn't know his rights and privileges in Christ. Where is the difficulty? It is this. The natural man is a sinner, but he is no more than that. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, so you might take a break there and take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. He is called iniquity. In other places, he is called sin. He is more than a transgressor. He is more than a violator of the law. He is by nature a child of wrath. He is spiritually dead. He is united with Satan as the believer is united with God. The believer has become a partaker of God's nature. The natural man is a partaker of Satan's nature. The problem is, how can God legally deal with the sin problem? And the sin problem, how can he deal with this satanic nature that is in man? It's the same message that you've heard when we talk about the Adam part of you and the Christ part of you. But this goes a little bit deeper to bring in God's cure. Say, I'm looking for God's cure. I need God's healing. In my own mind, where is where it starts. Amen? Take a deep breath. God has brought a redemption that covers every phase of man's need. Perfectly restores his fellowship with the Father so that there is no sense of guilt or sin, no memory of past wrongdoings. Wow. I'm waiting for that day. Can you imagine no sense of guilt? No sense of sin? No memory of past wrongdoings? The believer stands complete in Christ. He has partaken of the fullness of God in Christ. John chapter 1, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 16. For of his fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace. What does that mean? Of his fullness we have received, meaning it's already been done. We need to accept it. And it's going to be done by grace upon grace. It's going to be done by his Holy Spirit within us. But we first of all need to identify the darkness. And that's what I'm desperately trying to do to you today. To identify the darkness that keeps you from believing that God is not your enemy. Because for years, even though I spoke, God is my friend and my lover, I didn't believe it. Because the background music was constantly playing. Have I got a few relatives? So it would short-circuit my miracle. Short-circuit God's ability to bless me. Short-circuit God's ability to heal me. This week, I was cleaning an area, and what do I run across but a box of memory things. And it jolted my mind. I am reminded that Gino passed 2001, but this would have been back in the late 80s. And he had had a message for several weeks about the prostitute Rahab. In Joshua, the book of Joshua. And he went around handing out a piece of red ribbon, 7 inches long. I know my sister's back there and she's, yes, Kim, you're right on. And we passed around these little red ribbons all over the church every single week for several weeks. Anybody remember? Okay. So now I am looking at this box of memories, and there's a 7-inch piece of red ribbon sitting in the box. And instantly, I am back into Grace Church. I'm on my knees at the communion rail because it was on a Friday night and I couldn't breathe. I had seen Dr. Trump several times and he had mentioned that my nose was bad because I was using a lot of medicine in there and it was not good. And he was sending me to a specialist and I went to the specialist and he wants to do surgery. The specialist is a wonderful man, but I couldn't stand him. So, anyway, we did not get along. And I even said to Bob that I wouldn't send my dog to that specialist. Thank God I don't remember his name, but I did. I wouldn't send my dog to that guy. He gave me medicine. He wanted to give me medicine, and I couldn't handle it because it would have created a new problem. I said, he never even asked me if I was allergic to this stuff. Just hands me the prescription and he runs out of the room and you're left holding the problem and you still can't breathe. So I'm at the communion rail and I can't breathe. I take communion and I'm saying, God, you know, I really need healing in my nose because I can't breathe. I get back to my seat. My Bible's on the floor. And I'm kind of bent over. Because of my Catholic background, I'm half kneeling. After you receive, you kneel. And guess what I'm looking at? This darn little 7-inch red ribbon sticking out of the edge of my Bible. And the Holy Spirit says, Kim, take the ribbon and put it on your nose. Okay. He didn't activate me to do it because I didn't want to. Lord, I have a problem. How can a red ribbon heal my nose? So where was the problem? Was it with the red ribbon? Was it with the blood of Jesus Christ? Where was the problem?
Your obedience.
And my brain. I had a problem with the brain. I had a problem with the thinking process. And God wanted to deliver me. So after the third time, he said, take the ribbon and put it on your nose. Out of sheer choice, I reached down, grabbed the ribbon, stuck my head further down because I was ashamed to be seen. Fearful that I might not do it right because I'm not quite good enough to do these things. In the brain. Put the ribbon on the top of my nose and an explosion took place. It was instant. I could breathe with total freedom. What happened to me? Unbelief had just been shattered. By grace, it was done. It was done by a moment of obedience of the word of the Lord in my own heart. And it gave me faith for others. Because that night, when I went around anointing people, I knew that God was a healer. And the unbelief and the sin consciousness of who I was in Christ was eradicated for a few moments. The believer stands complete in Christ. He has partaken of the fullness of God in Christ. John chapter 1, verse 16. For of his fullness we have received, or all received, and grace upon grace. The next area of studies is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 19. Carefully you will see that under the first covenant there was a remembrance made of sin year by year. But in the new covenant, a man who has accepted Jesus Christ loses the sense of sin. When that ribbon hit my nose, I lost the sense of sin. Or my own sinfulness. And in its place receives a sense of his oneness and fellowship with the Father. Does our Heavenly Father have a nose problem?
No.
Thank you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Who delivered me out of the authority of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have our redemption and the remission of our sins. In whom? In him. Notice that in this scripture, that he delivered us out of the authority of darkness. That is Satan's dominion. And at the same time translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. There are four facts here. First, we are delivered out of Satan's dominion. Second, we are born into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The third is in whom we have our redemption. That is a redemption from Satan's dominion. Satan has no legal rights to reign over the man who has accepted Christ as his Savior. That man has been delivered out of the satanic dominion. Satan's family, Satan's authority. He has been born into the family of God, the kingdom of the Son of his love. When he was done, the redemptive work that Christ wrought became a reality. Fourth, he not only redeemed us out of Satan's dominion, there is also a remission of my sins. He has redeemed me, he has recreated me, he delivers me out of Satan's authority, and he remits all that I have ever done. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Say, he has redeemed me. He has recreated me.
He has delivered me
out of Satan's authority.
And he remits
all that I have ever done. It's already a done deal. And the blood by which he has set me free that delivered Kim on that Friday night with an explosion of freedom. I need today in me.
I need it now.
I need that explosion today.
By the same Holy Ghost.
Who delivered all those who believe. Help my unbelief, Lord. Help my unbelief, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for freeing me of all the areas of bondage. But most of all, I need the mind of the anointed. So I can believe for a miracle for me.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done with his blood. He has cleansed me with his power. He will raise me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
may the anointing of the Holy One of Israel transform you and transform your mind from a doubter to a believer. Amen. Right, amen. Huh? 2 Corinthians. Corinthians 6:14. Amen. Can God finish the work He started on you and me?
Yes.
Is He able to give you a miracle this day?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I would definitely say to you, hold on to this truth and wait for the word that He gives you. And when He says, do, ask Him for the grace to carry it out. Because without that word to do, when I was looking at that piece of red ribbon, my brain was in convulsion. It didn't want to believe that a red ribbon would do it. But it was a connection of faith. That's what I needed, and that's what He provided. He was persecuted because he obeyed. I remember bringing some of those red ribbons to people in the hospital. Some received, some didn't. We need to change and we need to pray for one another. Just close your eyes one more time. Father, I thank you now that as we lift up those that are struggling, it is not an accusation to them. Let this word be a healing and a beginning of a new walk, because it is done by grace and grace alone. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Share some hugs.